ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 131 of the report, and we're rocking out to some old school ass Ice Cube, man. Old school Ice Cube, but Gangsta's Fairy Tale celebrating this Halloween, man, real talk.
Looking for the wolf to kill. That fucked up and they want revenge. Them and Humpty used to be friends. Now they're enemies because he's a traitor. Pulled out the Uzi Cruise by and sprayed him. Cinderella hoeing for the fellas. And Mr. Rogers is getting mighty jealous of the cash that the pigs were making. Time for the pigs to get turned to bacon. Cause Mr. Rogers found out quick that Humpty Dumpty was blown to bits. They said that the motherfucking wolf is next. So Mr. Rogers better watch his step. So he let the wolf know, we're gonna fuck up the pigs and take their hoe. Cause Cinderella is much too fast. Before 12, giving up ass. Double barrels all loaded and cocked. As soon as they show, they gonna get popped. They bailed down Sesame Street in quarters.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. What's going on? Which is Halloween weekend, man. Halloween weekend, I've been seeing a lot of people out there with their costumes, man, with their kids and whatnot. Doing it big, man. I see y'all out there, man. Real talk, looking good too, man. A lot of y'all out there looking real good with those costumes, man. Real good job. Haven't been seeing a whole lot of blackface going on for my white counterparts this year. Haven't been seeing that, which is good. Which is good. I see y'all trying to step y'all costume game up. Y'all can look good and y'all can do black characters without the blackface. So I appreciate y'all going out that extra mile to not do that bullshit, right? But yeah, man, it has been 2 weeks since I've been on the mic, man, real talk. And there's been a lot of stuff going on over the last 2 weeks, man. Of course, if you guys have been following this politics stuff, you know, we got the email scandal going on with Hillary Clinton and whatnot. And I'm not going to even talk a whole hell of a lot about that today, man, especially with the election. I'm a little tired of talking about it, so we're going to talk about a little some other shit, man. But let me stop this here. Let me turn that off. Yeah. Yeah, but we got a lot of stuff going on, man. I want to talk about The Walking Dead this week, man. I haven't had a chance to talk about it. Last week was something that I have been waiting for a long time, man. So your boy going to talk about that, man. We're going to talk about Rachel Dolezal. Rachel Dolezal has decided to not go away, right? She has decided to not go away. She's got a new book out. We're going to kind of talk about Rachel Dolezal and her new book that's coming out. Also, I know I said we're going to talk a little bit about the election, man. We're going to talk about these rigged elections that Donald Trump keeps talking about. He might have a point. Donald Trump just might have a point when we talk about these rigged elections, man. Real talk. So we're going to talk about that. Mary J. Blige is getting a divorce from her husband, and it might have been something she might have not wanted done, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got Ass Hat of the Week. We got Champ of the Week. A lot of stuff to talk about this week here on the Span Report, man. So we're going to get right on into it. And the first thing I want to talk about, man, I got to talk about your man Glenn, man. Yeah, I had an opportunity earlier this week to be on an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips. Shout out to Rod and Karen and thank them again for having me on, man. We did a review. They do a review show over there where they talk about The Walking Dead. And I was on there talking about the death of Glenn this week, man. And if you guys have listened to me any length of time, you know that I loved what happened to Glenn. I have been waiting on this shit for a long time. I felt like Glenn should have been dead a long time ago, right? And so I was happy. I was happy to see that Glenn met the demise that he did, right? And it was weird to me, right? So, like, I loved it. It was a long time coming, but at the same time, I was kind of worrying about myself that this show has started, like, to make me become, like, a real callous, monsterish-like dude, right? Because I was, like, I was sitting there as Glenn was getting his head bashed in, and I was sitting there and, like, just like glee, like yes, he finally getting it. The fucked up part about it is like Glenn is a real decent dude and shit. Like Glenn was like the conscience of that whole show, man. Like he was like the thing that kind of held that group together on a morality and like let's not become the monsters that everything around us is becoming kind of thing. He was kind of trying to keep their humanity about him. And I was just like, yeah. After they pulled that whole garbage can stunt last time, I was off Glenn. I was like, you know what? It's time for this motherfucker to go. Like, real talk. And so many people were so broke up about it. I saw so many people talking about they were going to take off of work because Glenn died. I saw, I was watching The Talking Dead right afterwards, and they treated it like it was, like, a real-life death in the family. Like, real talk. They like, it almost was like they had, like, grief counselors and shit, right? Like, you know, we're going to deal with this after we just dealt with something very horrific. And The Talking Dead, we're going to deal with this together. And I'm like, it's a fucking character on a TV show. Like people was they really do have a connection and an attachment to these characters, man. And me personally, man, I'm in it for the enjoyment effect. I like the show. I like the decisions that have to be made, and you know, like the positions that they find themselves in and how they find themselves working out of them, so to speak. So I really like the show for that. But make no mistake, man, I am not about to call off work because somebody on The Walking Dead died, man. Something wrong with you niggas. Real talk. But, yeah, man. So I enjoyed the fact that, I really did enjoy the fact that, that Glenn finally caught the beats. Real talk. And I enjoyed it so much that I feel like we should watch it here again. Check this out.
Anyway, that's not how it works. Now, I already told you people. First one's free. Then what I say? I said I will shut that shit down. No exceptions. Now, I don't know what kind of lying assholes you've been dealing with. But I'm a man of my word. First impressions are important. I need you to know me. So, back to it.
Buddy, are you still there? I just don't know. It seems like you're trying to speak, but you just took a hell of a hit. I just popped your skull so hard, your eyeball just popped out. And it is gross as shit.
Man, God, I'll find you.
Oh, hell.
I can see this is hard on you guys. I am sorry. I truly am. But I did say it. No exceptions.
All right, that's enough, man. That is enough of the brutal, brutal killing of Glenn on The Walking Dead, man. You know, the funny thing about that, and I didn't even have that shit up. Are you serious? You guys didn't see that? God damn. Okay. So, I'm not going to replay it. I hate that you guys didn't get a chance to see it. Maybe you heard it. I thought I had this screen up, but I did not. Yeah, man, it was a real brutal scene. I know a lot of folks were upset with the fact that, you know, with the way that they did it and everything else. But I really do appreciate the fact that they finally brought some closure to that. I know a lot of folks were upset with the way that that show ended last year, and they opened up this show in the most epic of ways, man. So I am all in with The Walking Dead, man. Shout out to everybody who says they're not going to watch The Walking Dead now because Glenn is gone, man. And I know, like, you know, they deviate from the comic book sometimes, but this was exactly how it played out in the comic, almost, because, you know, there is Daryl isn't a part of the show or isn't a part of the comic, so they played it up almost to the T of how it came out in the comic, man. So yeah, Glenn is dead, real talk, man. So I can't wait to see the episode later tonight, because this show comes out, this show will be out before the second episode airs. So yeah, I'll be watching that tonight with you guys as well, man. So yeah, rest in peace, Glenn Pock, Glenn Avelli, if you will. It was a long time coming, but it should have happened a long time ago, man. Real talk. So yeah, that happened. Walking Dead. People upset. Glenn's dead, and I enjoyed it because I'm morbid like that, right? Now, you know what's funny, man? I didn't forget to introduce or tell you guys how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. I don't know what the hell's going on with me here, but you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond. You can also email me at feedback@thespiritreport.com. That's feedback@thespiritreport.com. Send me those emails. I'll read them and respond to them. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Like the Mr. Span fan page so you can watch these shows live right here on Facebook as I do them. And go to www.thespanreport.com so you can get everything Span Report related. Vote in the polls. Make comments on the episodes. Watch the videos and everything. Go to thespanreport.com and you can get all of that stuff all in one spot. And that's how it works, man. That's how it works. I had to make that quick because that wasn't when I was supposed to do that. Right? So, yeah, man, that happened, man. Glenn is gone, man, and people are mad about it, and I couldn't be happier. Now, I said that we were going to talk about Rachel Dolezal, right? Now, Rachel Dolezal, if you guys remember, Rachel Dolezal was the NAACP president out in Spokane, Washington, I believe. And she had been passing as a black woman. Out in Washington, she had been passing as a black woman, and then she said that there was some hate crimes being perpetuated against her and her family in her capacity as NAACP president out there in Spokane, Washington, right? And so the thing about it was it came to light that Rachel Dolezal was not a black woman, but she was in fact a white woman who was passing herself off as a black woman, and she was outed by a news story. A news reporter actually asked her about her parentage, and her parents had said it, like, you know, came out and said who they were and things like that. And so Rachel Dolezal, for all intents and purposes, has been, you know, passing herself off as a black woman and insisting that she identifies as a black woman. And she, since this whole thing has gone down, she's, you know, going on to, like, become a hairstylist. So she styles hair. She's a like, in the most stereotypical of ways, like, she does braids, right? And that's, you know, what she lives off of right now. She has a book coming out, right? Rachel Dolezal has a book coming out. And the title of Rachel Dolezal's book is In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World. Now, I'm going to pull this up so you guys can check this out for yourselves. Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up here And where is it? Here we go. All right. Now, that's a picture of the book. I want to zoom in on it, but I don't think it'll let me zoom in on it from here. But that's a picture of the book, and it's called, what is it called again? In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World, right? Now, of course, you know, it's funny that Rachel Dolezal can get a book published on basically her life living a lie, right? There's a lot of black people who talk about a lot of different things, who are struggling artists, who are struggling to get published and have their work published and aren't getting the credit, nor the notoriety, nor the backing to have their work published by a major publication, right? But Rachel Dolezal comes out and she pretends to be a black woman and she gets a book published about her pretending to be a black woman. So shout out to Summer Harden. And Summer is one of the, she's a member of the Black Guy Who Tips fan group. And she came up with a topic, man. She came up with a topic, and it was basically about if you could come up with a book title based about your life based on a lie, right? And so it got me to thinking, man, like, you know what? That's something that I could probably get down with, man. Like, if I really had to think about it, if I had to pull out the largest lie out my ass and have a book written about it, I had a few ideas. I had a few ideas about this, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you guys the books I came up with for Rachel Dolezal book titles, right? So let's go over here, man. In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World by Rachel Dolezal is the first one. But we also come up with Almost President, How Barack Obama Convinced Mitt Romney to Throw an Election, a book by Newt Gingrich, right? Also, we got I Wish I'd Learned to Play Spades, A Story of Tragedy and Triumph, an autobiography of Phil Ivey, by Phil Ivey. I'm an Idiot, The Life and Times of Neil deGrasse Tyson, the unauthorized autobiography of Bill O'Reilly. I'm sorry, by Bill O'Reilly. Just Calm Down, An Expert Guide to Effective Media Strategies by Azealia Banks, foreword by Ric Flair. Also, My Own Personal Memoir, Rarer Air, The True Untold Story of How Michael Jordan Stole My Life, man. He stole my life, man. Real talk. So, yeah, man. Rachel Dolezal book titles, man. I'm sure everybody can come up with something when it comes to some bullshit. If we all can write books about bullshit, I'm sure we can all come up with something. Over at the Black Guy Who Tips fan group, man, there was a lot of different titles, man. I didn't want to take anybody's shit. So I'm going to, if you're listening to me and you're a part of that group, go ahead and check out the thread. And shout out to Summer Harden for coming up with that thread, because it was hilarious, man, real talk. And it got my mind to wondering about some bullshit titles that folks would actually try to pass off. I'm sure Newt Gingrich should write that book. I am sure that Bill O'Reilly would write that book. Because it's bullshit, right? And we live in an age now where we can have a presidential candidate run and his entire candidacy be based on some bullshit. So, yeah, man, shout out to Summer Harden for that, man, real talk. Now, another thing, too, man, we were talking about bullshit, right? And we were talking about Donald Trump. And one of the things that happened this week with Donald Trump was, as we know, Donald Trump has been running and he's been saying that this election has been rigged, right? This election is rigged. We can't, you know, take this election seriously unless Donald Trump wins, right? We can't take the results of this election seriously. I will not accept the results of this election unless, of course, I win, right? Now, I've been saying for a long time that Americans are dumb. There's a lot of Americans that are dumb. And there was a story that came out this week that kind of solidified that for me, right? So we get the story of, what's this lady's name? Terry Lynn Roach, 55-year-old woman from Des Moines, Iowa. As a matter of fact, let me pull up this lady's face so you guys can check her out for yourselves. Just a second. Come on. Here we go. Let me pull this up here so you guys can check this out. All right. There she is, right? Now, this woman has actually said she's voted twice, right? She's voted twice in the election because she was scared. She was scared that her vote wasn't going to count and that her vote was going to actually be switched to Hillary Clinton, right? Now, again, this is part of the whole thing with Donald Trump telling his voters that this election is rigged, right? So Terry Lynn wrote actually voted twice. And in this story, she says, Terry Lynn wrote, a 55-year-old Des Moines resident, was booked Thursday on a first-degree charge of election misconduct, according to Polk County jail records. The charge is considered a Class D felony under Iowa state law. Wrote was released Friday after posting a $5,000 bond. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for November 7th. The Des Moines Register reported that Wrote is a registered Republican who cast two ballots in the general election, one at an early voting ballot at the Polk County Election Office and another at a county satellite voting location, according to police records. Wrote told Iowa Public Radio that she cast her first ballot for Donald Trump but feared it would be changed to a vote for Hillary Clinton. I wasn't planning on doing it twice. It was a spur of the moment, Wrote told the radio station. The polls are rigged. The phone list number that was listed for Wrote, a phone number that was not listed for Wrote, and she did not immediately respond to a message sent to a Facebook account in her name. Lee Munzel, an editor for The Blaze, noted on Twitter that Wrote was the same woman who had caucused for Trump earlier this year. In addition to Wrote, the Polk County Auditor's Office reported two other people to police last Wednesday on suspicions of voter fraud. The Register reported in the other two cases, those people cast mail-in ballots and also voted in person at one of the state's early voting locations, according to the paper. No arrests were made in the two other cases. Polk County Auditor Jamie Fitzgerald told the Register that it was the first time in 12 years he could remember having to report possible voter fraud. Now, again, this is what Donald Trump has been trumpeting the entire general election since he's fallen behind in the polls. Since Donald Trump fell behind in the polls, he has been putting out this idea that the election is being rigged. And he's got dumb motherfuckers, people who follow him, out here actually committing voter fraud, right? Very few instances of voter fraud in America, period. But the ones who are actually out here doing it are the ones who are trying to make sure that Donald Trump is president. It's funny how that shit works. Real funny how that shit works. And you know, another thing too, man, and I think it's real ironic, man. I'll be so glad when this election is over, because I'm at the point now where I wish, I want people who claim that they don't fuck with politics to go back to not fucking with politics and kind of shut the fuck up, because they don't really know what the hell they're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit is happening. And with this, it's like, I know we encourage people. We encourage everybody to get out there and vote. Your vote is important. Go out there and vote. Don't sit on the sidelines and bitch because nothing's going your way. Get your ass up. Have some skin in the game. Put your name on a ballot and vote, right? The problem, though, sometimes is that people like this vote also. It's a lot of dumb motherfuckers voting. It's a lot of Americans that are fucking stupid that are voting also. I saw a picture earlier today where this young lady, she wrote in Bernie Sanders' name on a ballot, right? And the caption to her picture was, "We're trying to save America." And I hate to tell y'all, I really do hate to break it to y'all, Bernie Sanders is not a savior. Bernie Sanders is not your great white hope. He doesn't even want the job anymore. Vote, people. Vote. But there's gonna understand there's gonna be some dumb motherfuckers out there voting with you. I guess that's at the end of the day, that's what we have to deal with, right? At the end of the day, there's gonna be some dumb motherfuckers out there voting with us. And we gotta take that into consideration as well, especially if we want everybody to get their asses out there and vote, right? So that's happening. Donald Trump saying the vote is saying the campaign is rigged, and he's got folks out here who are voting on his behalf, not once, but twice. But it's only happening in the Democratic, you know, circles and shit like that, right? And especially in the black neighborhoods, because he's insinuated that as well as he's been campaigning over the last couple weeks or so, right? Now, another thing happened over the course of these last couple weeks, man, that I kind of wanted to speak to. And that thing was Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige has decided to call it quits with her husband, Kendu Isaacs. I'm not exactly sure I think it's irreconcilable differences or something like that, right? And Kendu Isaacs has had a very big, he has been catching it on social media because of the list of things that he's requested as part of their divorce settlement, right? So a lot of dudes are really like, you know, like, yo, man, like, I really wish he'd get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and stuff, man, and when they got divorced from their wife, man, they walked away with millions. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he ain't asking for much in the grand scheme and all that other stuff, right? And then you got a lot of sisters who are like, man, that's some bullshit. Like, why he think he should get all that? Why he think she should be paying child support for his other kids that he had before he was with her? That's some bullshit. He need to take care of those kids on his own and all this other stuff. And I get it. I totally do. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Because I want to read off some of the things that Mary J. or Kendu Isaacs is asking for from Mary J. Blige. He's asking for $8,000 for a personal chef, $3,200 a month. I think this is all monthly. $3,200 per month for a personal trainer, $1,000 clothing allowance, $5,000 to continue paying his parents. to continue paying each of his parents $5,000. Okay, that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. $71,000 for rental properties. $5,000 a month to support his two children from a past relationship. $2,500 in auto expenses and transportation. $5,708 in maintenance and repair on his properties. $5,732 for groceries. God damn, what are y'all eating? $21,677 for charitable donations. $10,000 in entertainment, gifts, and vacations. $100,000 in attorney's fees and $30,000 in accounting fees, right? And the way this is being explained to a lot of folks is that he's asking for this monthly. What I would do with this, like some of the things he's asked for per month, I'll say those are per month. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. I think what Kendu Isaacs is doing is he's negotiating. And when you negotiate, sometimes you overshoot and hope that you fall somewhere in the middle. And I think that's what Kendu Isaacs is doing. I don't think he's going to get half of what he's asking for when it comes to these divorce requests that he's asking of Mary J. Blige. I really don't think he's going to get half of that. But I will say it is interesting to see how the roles flip and how attitudes flip on this particular issue. I will say that because at the end of the day, I talk about equity for women all the time on this show. I talk about women empowerment. I talk about women autonomy. I talk about women and their agency. I talk about this a lot. And so, unfortunately, sometimes this is what comes with equity and being on an equal playing field. Mary J. Blige was the breadwinner in that family. And because Mary J. Blige was the breadwinner in that family, Mary J. Blige is going to come off of something. Whether you believe that Kendu Isaacs is entitled to any of these things or not is irrelevant. In much the same way that a lot of dudes didn't think that Juanita Jordan was entitled to anything when she divorced Michael Jordan. Or when Tiger Woods divorced from Elin Nordegren. How a lot of people felt like she wasn't entitled to a lot of the things that she got in their divorce settlement. At the end of the day, we don't really have a say in that whole thing. But this is also a thing of equity. And because Mary J. Blige was the breadwinner in that family, unfortunately, Mary J. Blige is going to have to come out of a lion's share of, you know, the divorce settlement because of the way that their relationship was structured. And on top of that, he was her manager. So because he's no longer her manager, that basically kind of like gets him out of a job. So I'm not sure if this is going to be something that is permanent, whether or not this is going to be like some sort of like temporary thing for a set number of years. I don't know. But it has been interesting to kind of watch how people react to this entire story, man. I just know one thing, man. My grandfather sang a song about this shit. Cheaper to keep her, man. It's cheaper to keep her. I think Mary J. Blige is looking at this whole situation. He's probably thinking it might have been cheaper to keep her to keep this fool, but you can't put a price. You cannot put a price on peace of mind. And if Mary J. Blige can get this motherfucker whatever it is he think he's entitled to and give herself some peace of mind, then that might be worth it. You know, real talk. I don't have that kind of money to be given to anybody, right? So I can't count anybody's pockets when it comes to this. By any means, at all, right? So that's been going on, man. Another thing, man, and this is something that's been real interesting, and it's been wild to kind of see some of the conversation going around this, because I want to talk about video games, right? And a couple weeks ago, I saw a video that was kind of going across social media, and people were talking about it, and it was about the game Mafia 3, right? Now, I talked about Mafia 3. As a matter of fact, I believe I did so the last episode, 2 weeks ago. Talked about Mafia 3, and we were talking about how you could kill Ku Klux Klan members. You can actually ambush a Klan rally and mow their asses down. And people were like, yo, I bought a copy of that game because I can mow down Klan members. Like, yo, this is what's up. I can take it to this. I can take it to races on this game, man. Real talk. That was a selling point for a lot of folks, right? So people bought Mafia 3. Outside of that, it was also reviewed to be a very fucking good game. So people got into the whole thing about Mafia 3. And so Mafia 3 is out in the wild, and people are playing it and whatnot. And then on top, what happens is somebody plays a game, and then they stumble across something, and it's like, yo, wait a minute, what the fuck was that? And so there was a scene in Mafia 3 where there's gay sex being depicted in Mafia 3, right? Now, I'm going to show you guys the scene in Mafia 3 that has folks so upset. I'm going to show it to you. So let me go over here, so you guys can check this out for yourselves, because I honestly don't think it's that big a deal, but this is what people are talking about. So we're going to pull this up here, and hold up, and I just opened up something that I didn't want to open up, but there we go. We're going to pull up Mafia 3, and we're going to play this here. So they getting down. Can't really see a whole lot. Can't see a whole lot at all. You see a dude behind another dude, but that's pretty much it. That's what had people up. That's what had people upset, right? So here's the thing, right? I kept seeing folks talk about, this game is promoting the gay agenda, and I don't want my kids seeing this. I don't want my kids exposed to this. I don't want my kids having this idea that being gay is okay, right? This is what, like, I'm seeing from a lot of folks on like social media and things like that. And I interacted with a lot of folks on the thread on Facebook where I actually saw this video first. And so the funny thing about this is, man, is like, I need people to understand that these games aren't for your kids in the first fucking place. Let's just get that shit out of the way. These games are not for your children. They are not. Grand Theft Auto is not for your fucking kids. Mafia is not for your fucking kids. The Last of Us may not be for your fucking kids. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. A lot of these games that some of y'all be buying y'all kids have the rating right on to, they have them right on the fucking box, and y'all decided, like, you know what, man, fuck it, my kid is old enough for it. And I've seen people talk about this, man. Like, I've had conversations with folks talking about, well, my cousins, they got this game and they play it, so it must be all right. Or my son wants this game and he's got these other games and he's okay, so I guess he can have this one. Meanwhile, their kid is 9, 10, 11 years old, and the game is actually rated for someone 17 or older. And then you worry about scenes like this and your kids being exposed to it. Some of y'all doing some piss poor fucking parenting when it comes to what it is you expose your kids to. It's not these video game makers' responsibility to police their creativity because of what you want your kids exposed to. If you didn't want your kids exposed to possibly seeing gay sex in a video game, then don't buy your kids mature-rated video games. It's funny, man, because I've been watching motherfuckers talk about this, like, gay sex is where they draw the line when it comes to these video games. They've been playing fucking Grand Theft Auto, which has vehicular manslaughter, carjacking, prostitution. They got naked strippers on that boy, drug use, grand larceny, robbery, all sorts of shit. But the gay sex is where you draw the line for your kids? Really? Come on, man. I remember when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. I was still in college when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. Man, that's a long fucking time ago. But I remember when that game came out and you could pick up a prostitute on the game and she gets in the car and then your car gets to rocking with the innuendo that you in there fucking. And while you in there fucking, your health meter goes up and your money meter goes down. And we thought it was all funny. I was in college when that shit came out. We thought it was funny. But then I started seeing, you know, kids playing this game. I remember my daughter wanted to play Grand Theft Auto 5. I told her, fuck no. No. But that doesn't mean that, like, you know, she goes over to somebody else's house and their kids are allowed to play this game. And, you know, like, now my daughter's exposed to the same shit that I might not necessarily want my daughter exposed to. Because other parents have taken it upon themselves to say, fuck it, it don't mean a whole hell of a lot. But they hell bit on these kids not learning about some gay sex. It's funny how that works, man. It's funny how that works. Vehicular manslaughter, cool with you. Prostitution, cool with you. Drug use, cool with you. Murder, cool with you. All of these things are cool with you. But the gay sex, nah, dog, I can't do it. Can't do it. So yeah, man, I have yet to come across that part of the game in Mafia 3 because I do own that game. I have yet to come across that part of the game, but I do think it's interesting where people draw their lines, man. I do think it's interesting as parents where we draw our lines, especially when it comes to our kids. And it's also funny that y'all put the gay sex on par with murder, vehicular manslaughter, prostitution, drug use. It's funny how that works, man. It's funny how y'all equate those with one another, man. Real talk. Like, and the worst thing is the gay sex. Golly, man. Real talk, man. What about our kids, man? What about your kids? Do you really care about your kids to the point where you don't even expose them to these other things before it even gets to the gay sex? Right? But whatever, right? So, enough with that, man. We're going to talk a little bit more about Nate Parker, right? Now, I know I've been talking about Nate Parker a lot, and, you know, things are kind of dying down with that, man. But I did see something that kind of caught my eye over the course of the last couple of weeks that I thought was kind of funny and a little interesting, and I want to talk about it now. The Birth of a Nation came out, I want to say, about 3 weeks ago, and it opened up to $7 million. And a lot of folks were disappointed with the fact that the movie only made $7 million in the box office on its opening weekend, right? And some folks called it a flop. Others called it not a flop, but considering how much it cost the movie to get made and how much it cost to distribute and everything else. And he's going to make money on residuals. And then, of course, he's probably going to make some money on the DVD sales and the digital download sales and stuff like that. So the movie's going to probably make some money. I mean, even movies like... Like, take for instance, Chirac. That was a movie that I really did not want to, like, support, but I did want to see it just to see what was my criticism valid. And when I saw it, it was, right? I saw the movie, and my criticisms were valid of that movie. But I rented it on, like, Google Play or some shit like that, right? So I'm pretty sure some people who did not want to go to the theaters to go see that shit or whatever, they'll probably see it at some point in time, right? Now... The interesting thing about it is that, like, the movie made $7 million and people were upset about it. And then Tyler Perry's movie, Madea Halloween, comes out. And I believe that movie came out and its opening box office made $16.7 million. And the Hotep heads exploded, right? You start seeing memes about, you don't want to see a movie about your liberation, but you'll see in a movie about, you know, the emasculation of a black man. You don't want to learn about your history, but you'll go watch this buffoonery. I start seeing that shit. You don't want to see a movie about black empowerment, but you'll see a movie about black cowardice. Like, people were making, the Hoteps were in overdrive when the numbers came back that Madea made $16.7 million opening weekend. And the funny thing about it is, man, like, I'm wondering where we are where like the movies we decide to go watch determine how black we are. Like, how do we get to that point? Right? Because like, truth be told, man, like The Birth of a Nation was not the only black movie to come out this season. As a matter of fact, there have been a few of them. Queen of Cotway came out. How much money did Queen of Cotway make? Queen of Cotway opened up, made $2.4 million. $2.4 million. It was an inspirational movie about a young black girl learning to play chess. But women empowerment and girl empowerment isn't necessarily a popular thing in black communities. Is that what we're saying? Is that what that is? Is that what we're running with? Especially if, like, you know, Birth of a Nation flop. Then are we not interested in seeing female empowerment and black empowerment with young girls? Like, is that what it is? Because I didn't hear a lot of you motherfuckers who was trumpeting up that Birth of a Nation talking about Queen of Cotway at all. What about, Moonlight, something like that. I don't know exactly the name of this movie. But I do know the name, like, the movie is about the coming up of, like, a young gay man, young black gay man. And this movie has a limited release, so I'm not going to even bother with the box office numbers for that movie. But I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, we need to support this film in a lot of these circles. And of course, I know why. It's because there's a lot of homophobia when it comes to when in the black community, there's a lot of homophobia. Let's just put that out there. And it's not just black people. But yeah, black folks have some homophobia running rampant in the community. It is what it is. Right. So, as a matter of fact, I saw one prominent YouTuber say, like, why would heterosexuals be wanting to go see a movie about homosexuality? Like, I don't understand that. And it's like, well, you're not a slave, but you were adamant about us wanting to go see a movie about slavery. But you understand that. You don't necessarily have to be gay to want to see a film that may talk about gay issues. And see, a lot of folks, man, they tie themselves up into these little boxes, man. And they, especially with the entertainment, like we're tying ourselves into these little boxes and it makes no sense whatsoever. Like this idea that because the Madea movie made money over Birth of a Nation, and that somehow means that black folks are intrinsically fucked up because we decided that we wanted to see Boo a Madea Halloween over the Birth of a Nation. Like, it's kind of like flawed in this logic, right? And I'm gonna tell you why, because I've seen neither one of these movies. I haven't seen the Tyler Perry movie. Not a real big fan of Tyler Perry. Not a real big fan of the Tyler Perry Madea movies. They're not geared towards me. I get that. My grandma loves those movies, though. So my grandma gonna go see that. My grandma gonna go see that movie. Real talk. Me, not so much. Never really been a fan of Tyler Perry's flicks, right? But Granny likes it. Granny's gonna go support that film. My aunts are gonna go support that film. My younger cousins are gonna go, and they're gonna go together as a family. Like my aunt, my younger female cousins, my grandma, all of them went to go see that as a group. And they had a good time, right? Now, when it comes to the Birth of a Nation, yeah, some people went, some didn't. Some people went as a family and they wanted to engender themselves to this feeling of empowerment and pride and black heroism, and they wanted to be in there crying, and they wanted to witness rapes that didn't happen. Like it happens, right? People go to the movies for different reasons. But one thing that does happen is this, and I don't think people really take heed to these sort of things. A lot of times your movies about historical figures don't necessarily, or just not only just historical figures, but historical periods, period. A lot of times those movies don't necessarily make as much as a movie that's geared towards entertaining you. Right? So, Madea made $16.7 million opening weekend. Birth of a Nation made $7 million opening weekend. Now, I'll give you a white equivalent. And this is like, the numbers are vastly different. Same director, same year, two movies. Numbers are vastly different. Steven Spielberg, one of the biggest and most well-known, most well-respected directors of our time, came out with a movie called Schindler's List back in 1993. Schindler's List. Schindler's List made a lot of money, like hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of his lifetime, you know, after being in the theaters and everything else. But you want to know how much money Schindler's List made in the box office this opening weekend? $4.6 million. Now, granted, inflation and things like that kind of change over the course of time. So, you know, it may not sound like a lot of money now, but yeah, Schindler's List made $4.6 million this opening weekend. Its director was Steven Spielberg. And it was a movie about World War II era, I think it was World War II era Poland. With the Nazi internment camps. And people who were dealing with that in that time, right? Then you got the other movie that Steven Spielberg came out with in 1993. He had two movies come out same time, the same year. And that other movie was Jurassic Park. You know how much money Jurassic Park made opening weekend? $47 million. $47 million. So do we then go to white folks and say, well, you guys don't care, especially like with Jewish people and stuff. Do you go to Jewish people and tell Jewish people that like, you don't care nothing about your history. You don't care nothing about what happened to us and how we got here. You don't care nothing about anything of historical value because you want to take your ass out there to go watch some dinosaurs. That shit wasn't real. It ain't historically accurate. Right? Do we do that? See, that's the thing, man. Like, black folks are the only ones where our movie-going habits are always attributed to who we are as black folks. And it isn't just like, you know, like our movie-going habits, but the type of music we listen to, the kind of foods we eat, the kind of places we like to go. Like, it's always attributed to how black we are when we might not, when we just might not necessarily roll with the status quo. So a lot of you niggas got behind Birth of a Nation. You got mad that Nate Parker was involved in some bullshit and his bullshit came out and folks actually talked about his bullshit. And you said it was a distraction from this great movie that we all should have to see. But you don't do that any other place. We don't do that with any other group of people. Jurassic Park made $47 million. Schindler's List made 4.6. Madea made $16.7 million. Nate Parker's movie made 7. And another thing, too, that I don't think you guys take into consideration when it comes to these, man. Like, yo, white folks go to the movies, too. White folks count for those box office numbers, too. Are you mad at white folks for not going to see Birth of a Nation and supporting it the way you want black folks to go support it? Because I'm going to tell you something. White folks went to go see Tyler Perry's movie. White folks went to go see Tyler Perry's movie. White folks went to the movies to go have a good time. And they did, watching Tyler Perry. But at the end of the day, black folks is going to take the blame for why Tyler Perry's movie made more money the Nate Parker's movie. You see how this works? It's a silly ass game we play. It's a silly game we play when we start talking about our blackness being tied to our entertainment, our blackness being tied to the kind of foods we eat, the kind of places we like to go. Like, at the end of the day, man, Nate Parker, with this movie, the reason that Nate Parker's movie was not as successful as it could have been was because of Nate Parker, nobody else. No matter who else y'all want to blame it on, whether it be the people that didn't go see this movie, whether or not it be the woman who accused him of sexual assault, whether it was the black feminists that y'all want to blame, or the black women who don't want to see this, the black victims of sexual assault who didn't want to see this, whoever y'all want to try to lay the blame at, nobody, the common denominator in all of the bullshit is Nate Parker. Nate Parker was the reason why his movie did not do as well as y'all thought it should have, right? So, man, yeah, man, like it's kind of crazy to watch that play out, to see how many people go out of their way to promote anti-blackness, because at the end of the day, it's like y'all really do believe black folks are fucked up. because they don't think the way that you think. So in turn, black folks as a whole, because y'all do generalize like a motherfucker, so I'm going to go ahead and finish that for you. Black folks as a whole are fucked up because they don't think and they don't do what you want them to do. Bottom line, that's what it is. I do the same thing with America, man. I think America is fucked up because America don't do the shit that I think America should do. Right? That's what it is, what it is at this particular point, man. So, yeah, man. Oh, man. I am done talking about Nate Parker. Real talk. Like, this is the last time, unless he does something else stupid. I am done talking about Nate Parker's old rapey ass, right? So, yeah, that's what it is. But we've come up to our segments, man, and it is time for our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And today's ass hat of the week is this lady here, Andrea Shepherd. Now, Andrea Shepherd, you guys more than likely do not know this woman. She's a regular person. She's not a celebrity. She's not a media person or anything like that. But Andrea Shepherd makes the ass hat of the week this week because Andrea Shepherd did something that was reckless. Andrea Shepherd did something that was irresponsible. And she wanted the world to know that she was doing something reckless and irresponsible. So here's a story of why. Here's the story of why Andrea Shepherd is the ass hat of the week this week here on the Span Report. Let me pull this up for you guys so you can check it out for yourselves real quick. Okay. Here we go.
A woman goes on a social media tirade over her Detroit home.
This video is wild. She says she fears she'll lose her house and takes her anger out on the Detroit Land Bank Authority, but this tirade got her arrested.
Everything! Everything! Ah, it is raggedy! I have nothing! So guess what I got? My piece. There it is. I'm a mother gonna defend my rights.
Andrea Shepherd fired into the house right on the view of this video, and she says the land bank sold her a home for $1,000 through its auction program, and now she says it'll be demolished. The city says that it actually will not be demolished, and the city said they tried to work with her. In fact, they say she's getting a $1,000 refund. Now, as you saw in the video, she fired the shot at the home, and Detroit police say the children are safe tonight. The woman has not yet been formally charged.
All right. Now, I know some people will watch that and they'll be like, yo, man, what happened to her was kind of fucked up, Span. Like, why would you do that? Why would you call her ass hat of the week? And the reason that I would call Andrea Shepherd an ass hat of the week is this right here, man. I am a gun owner and advocate. I advocate for the safe ownership and use of firearms. I know for a lot of you, you disagree with me when it comes to my views on guns and whatnot. But one of the things that I think is important when it comes to that is the safe operation and use of firearms. And what I saw in that video was somebody who was being reckless as fuck. Not only for the sake of the Facebook, so everybody on Facebook could see what the hell it was she was doing. But I'm worried about that kid that was within like. That was right there while she was sweeping that barrel across an area while she was using that firearm. She fired that gun when I bet you those kids didn't have on any sort of ear protection or whatever. Like that baby that she was holding while she fired that weapon. I'm sure that baby did not have any earplugs on. I'm sure that little boy that was standing right next to her did not have any earplugs on. I'm sure that little boy was probably scared as many times as she swept that barrel across him. The person who was videotaping this, she pointed that gun a few times recklessly. She was waving that gun recklessly a few times. And as someone like myself, who was a safe gun owning advocate, man, I hated watching that. Seeing those kids exposed to those guns in that way where they could have very well been the victims of their mom having an accidental discharge and shooting one of them, especially that little boy that was standing next to her while she was going on that goddamn tirade. So for that, Andrea Shepherd, is the fucking ass hat of the week this week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right, now, today's champ of the week here on the Spare Report podcast is Colin Kaepernick, man. Colin Kaepernick. Now, Colin Kaepernick has been out here winning, especially with black folks, man. Colin Kaepernick has been out here winning all fucking football season with his protest of the national anthem as it relates to police violence against those in the community, man. And Colin Kaepernick has... opened up a camp, man. He did a camp and an event for underprivileged and homeless children in the Bay Area out in California, man. And so from BOSSIP, getting the news from BOSSIP, man. BOSSIP says that Colin Kaepernick recently hosted a series of events informing underprivileged minority kids how to better themselves in their respective communities. This weekend, the QB hosted a Know Your Rights campaign for Bay Area children. Kaepernick used some of his off time to organize and host the event with several volunteers. The baller says, we want to teach you today about financial literacy, how you can pursue higher education, and how to be physically fit and healthy. And then they also had a 10-point program where he said the kids learn to, you have the right to be free. You have the right to be healthy. You have the right to be brilliant. You have the right to be safe. You have the right to be loved. You have the right to be courageous. You have the right to be alive. You have the right to be trusted. You have the right to be educated, and you have the right to know your rights, man. And so, Colin Kaepernick, man, I gave him the champ of the week, but not only that, man, I want to get a champ of the week to everybody who actually goes out here and does the work for the people, man. Those who get out there and advocate for the people, and they don't necessarily get the recognition they deserve. And not only that, sometimes even the big athletes, right? Some of our athletes who are out here doing some of the work, some of the social justice work that needs to be done, but they don't promote it. They don't make sure that social media is abreast of every move that they're doing, so that you see them for the sake of them doing it. And there's a lot of them out here. And I think sometimes when it comes to athletes, man, sometimes they get a bad rap. I was having a conversation with some guys at work, man. We kind of talked about that Coon song that that Willie D came out with, where he talked about Michael Jordan and he talked about some of the other folks, man. And one of the things I want to tell folks is this, man. Sometimes there's work being done that you aren't necessarily aware of, and that doesn't necessarily make a person a coon because you don't know what they got going on. And sometimes that work is being done because they gave money, because they gave time, because they put forward some resources so that other people can actually do the work. Just because you don't see somebody out here doing it and they're doing it for the cameras, don't make somebody a coon. And it's real easy to be called a coon nowadays, man. So easy to the point where it's getting to a point where, like, calling somebody a coon really don't mean a whole hell of a lot. It don't. It's actually kind of foolish. It's kind of foolhardy to just go out and try to question somebody's blackness. If anything, if I should have named the show, it's like, you can't question my blackness. You can't do it. You know? But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. Shout out to all of those who are out here doing the social justice work that folks will mock you for, but they don't really have the time for, nor the monies to put towards, and they just sit on the side criticizing, man. Fuck all of those people. Shout out to everybody who's out here doing that work. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. He's been really stepping up as of late, and I felt like he should be champ of the week this week here on the Spirit Report. But, yeah, man, it's time for me to get out of here. So, Before I do, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read them here and respond to those here on the show as well. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. We can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, right? Also, like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Watch these shows live, participate in the chat room, and be a part of the show, man. We do this every week. And I'm thinking about making Sundays the official day of the show instead of Saturdays, moving it to Sunday so I can have a little bit more time to get my things together when I do the show. So Sundays will be the day. Sundays will be the day for the live show. So go ahead, like that Mr. Span fan page and watch the show live on Sundays. We do this here on Facebook Live every week. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Watch the show. Listen to the show. Look at some of the videos I use during the show. Vote in the polls. Leave comments. Everything, man, is available for you there at thespanreport.com. Real talk. But, yeah, it's time for me to get out here, man. I hope to hear from you guys soon. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.